So, I chose this passage in large part because it simply kept coming back to me as I read and reviewed the book. It's very vivid, it's very difficult to forget, and it also seems in particular to be a passage where discussions on, quote, correction, that word in its various valences, on principles, and also on social critique, where all these discussions might intersect, all of which I find interesting. It also belongs to two more minor characters, Sylvia Roth and Kelly Withers, reminding us of the interconnected subplots that are taking place alongside the Lambert story. So I think that the structure of this passage is one of its most interesting aspects. Taking it at face value, we could say that this passage was comprised mainly of a run-on sentence about the kind of society Sylvia would like us all to live in. Of course, this is not what comes across. What comes across is this story, told with this kind of impersonal edge, even, of Jordan Roth's torture and murder at the hands of a former patient, Kelly Withers, who is now on death row. The details of the murder and the torture occur within parenthetical space, however. They're set apart and enclosed from the main sentence. Yet, like suppressed emotions and subconscious urges, like stashed catalogs and registered mail in the St. Jude home, these tucked away details still rise to the surface and make themselves known. Textually, they sit there on the page, ugly and difficult to read without discomfort. They are flaws. In their parentheses, they seem primed and packaged for editing, just waiting to be taken out, kind of like the correction that Chip so desperately needs to make to his screenplay. This passage, with the question of an impending execution running throughout it, also brings into the conversation a possible different meaning of the word corrections, that is, the kind of correction meant by the Department of Corrections, or correctional facilities. Withers stands as the novel's example of what Mary Lee Finch calls on page 208, social disease, which Correct-All will also potentially correct, along with neurodegenerative diseases. The passage also brings with it question of capital punishment, which manifests itself not so subtly as a theme throughout the novel, in childhood play with the popsicle stick prison, interfamilial values, since this is something that the Lamberts disagree on, and in Gary's dream, in which his father's electric chair strongly resembles the Correct-All technology. I'm curious about how we might relate or compare Kelly and Alfred, as these similarities would suggest we could. Would it also be a stretch to bring in political correctness, insofar as it has come to suggest a fixation on change to the exclusion of other considerations, to bring that kind of correction into the fold as well? This passage could also be interpreted as commenting on how our general principles are ultimately insufficient in the face of specificity and when they apply to our lives. No matter how progressive they may be, sometimes they can't help us cope with change. Sylvia's liberal politics don't soothe her grief and anger at the loss of her daughter. No matter how she might intellectually spin it, Jordan's murder is not a random tragedy. Kind of like how in the Poisonwood Bible, Ruth May's death is difficult to boil down to one among many that occurred in the Congo that day. In this frame of reference, Sylvia's correctness is tested, and it isn't sufficient. When she's honest with herself, she wants Kelly to die. We see this dynamic play out amongst the Lamberts throughout the novel, too. Their individual and different values are where they butt heads, where they conflict, where they reflect, and where they adapt or contradict themselves. Their values, what they believe to be the correct way of thinking and living, that's how they define themselves, and mostly how they define themselves to each other, in contrast to each other. Yet it is difficult to uphold these strong principles in the face of family matters and tragedy, in the face of specifics, slit throats, and last Christmases, and the novel explores that unsteady ground. Finally, while reading the passage, I was struck by the length of the sentence. It sustains itself through the repetition of key phrases, "She wanted him dead," "a society in which." The refrain of "society in which," in particular, begins to recall historical rhetoric of idealism and change. For example, Dr. King's "I Have a Dream" speech. But Sylvia's dream is undercut by her desire for vengeance. Her society in which is undercut by wanting him dead and her reasons for it. The social critique is itself critiqued, satirized really by those parenthetical, violent phrases. This, I think, is a strong and interesting current running throughout the corrections, starting with Melissa Packett's first criticism of criticism on page 44. The corrections feels and sounds, often rhetorically, like a social critique, like a move forward, but it offers no tenable solutions, and ultimately doesn't take a side. This is what David Gates, in his review, calls scrupulous neutrality, between the society in which and the society that is, between change and status quo, or even reversion. Are we to believe that this is neutrality and not ambivalence or uncertainty on Franzen's part? Why so scrupulous? Or have David Gates and I just miscalculated Franzen's target?